This is the HAT Soil Health Podcast, a production of Hoosier Ag Today and the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative, a program of the Indiana Conservation Partnership. In each episode, we spotlight the numerous efforts around the state by CCSI and its many partners to improve soil health on Indiana cropland. Fred Woods mentored hundreds of conservation professionals as he worked for the Soil Conservation Service in Martin County. After he retired, he continued to serve the community by volunteering to plant trees. In this episode, our guests share stories of Fred's contributions to Indiana conservation. Now, your Soil Health Podcast host, Elise Koning.
Hello, and welcome to the HAT Soil Health Podcast. Today, we have with us Barry Fisher, an independent soil health consultant, and Chris Lee with the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. And we are talking today about the legacy of someone who's very well known here in the Indiana conservation community, Fred Woods. He mentored hundreds of conservation professionals here in Indiana. So Barry and Chris will be sharing some of those memories of Fred with us today. Barry, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks, Elise. Fred Woods was my first supervisor. I actually worked with him as a student trainee under the old Soil Conservation Service, and it was back in 1981 that I first worked with Fred Woods. So I I'm so thankful that his impression and his mentorship was how I got to start off my career with the agency. And I think back to all of the conservation ethic that he instilled in all of the folks that worked with him, the young people that came through his office and was trained under him, that you can just go down the line and each of them have become great soil conservationists, you know, and carry that conservation ethic with him that I think he in many cases provided that first impression on them.
Chris, thanks for joining us as well.
Thanks, Elise. It's great to be here and talk about such a treasured legend, which is Fred Woods. If we would have recorded this podcast yesterday, I believe it would have been his 103rd birthday yesterday. So it's very timely that we're doing it in the month of February. Fred was just an amazing person all the way around. And like Barry said, the ethic that he instilled in people was incredible. I was the person that was hired after Fred Woods retired to fill his shoes, which I never, ever lived up to being able to do. And I had lots of people remind me of that you have big shoes to fill. But Fred would always come back and counsel me and work with me anytime I asked him to. And it was just that love of what he did, that love of conservation that really appealed to me. And he taught me that it's okay to be passionate about something that you love.
So Chris, let's start with where Fred got that passion. He was in North Carolina on his family's farm, and there was a really special visitor who came. Tell us about that.
So basically, Hugh Hammond Bennett, which we all consider the godfather or the founder of the soil conservation movement, was actually speaking on Fred Woods' family farm around 1936, when Fred would have been about 15 years old. And Mr. Bennett inspired Fred so much that within 10 years after that, Fred was a soil conservation aide working for what was then the Soil Conservation Service, now the Natural Resources Conservation Service.
So what was it about Bennett's speech that would have been so influential to Fred?
Well, during that period of time, our primary focus for soil conservation was gully erosion and wind erosion. And both were just prevalent all across our country. Our farms were in really sad shape from gully erosion in our area. And farther west, the drier areas were really susceptible to the wind erosion. And you can even see it today on the older aerial photography, how bad the land looked about that period of time. And it was just because we just didn't have the technology and the hybrids and the knowledge that we have today that came from 40 years and 50 years of people like Fred Woods really studying soil erosion and working with producers to change things.
So, Barry, how did Fred come from North Carolina up to Indiana to start working up here with soil conservation?
Well, I don't know that we know for sure how he got here. It could have been with his church. It could have been to meet, to join his first wife. We're not 100% sure. I can't remember him telling the story how he came to Indiana, but he was here for most of his career and became an immediate, was accepted as a local leader from the get-go. You know, Fred was not just passionate about agriculture and conservation agriculture and soil conservation, but he was kind of a larger than life figure too. His charisma was similar to, like we talk about the charisma of Hugh Hammond Bennett, but at a local level, Fred's charisma was larger than life too. And just as a figure, here's a 6'4" or 6'5" man, always dressed in khaki head to toe, usually a wide brimmed hat. His appearance was even larger than life, and his smile was larger than life as well. So he was just the kind of person that immediately had the ability to influence others, and the farmers just gravitated to him like no other there in Southern Indiana. So I wish I knew the exact story, but I don't know that I know the exact story. I sure am glad he got here, though, is all I can say.
How did you get to know him?
Oh, I was in the Paoli area office one summer. I'd just gotten out of college and was just out job hunting, and just happened in there the day that Jim Akers, at that time the area conservationist, had just received a call from the state office and said, "Hey, we're going to get to hire a few student trainees this summer, so we'll be getting you the paperwork." And I just happened to show up at that time, and so he immediately knew my family, and in turn said, "Hey, you need to apply for this summer trainee job. We're going to have an opening down at Shoals, Indiana." And at that time, being from French Lick, we were great rivals, you know, basketball and baseball rivals. They were a neighboring school that was down the road. So, and I thought to myself, well, do I want to go to Shoals, Indiana to work? And I'm glad I filled out that paperwork, and the rest is history. I got hired and that was my first summer trainee position when I was in college, and Fred Woods was my first supervisor. So that's how I got to work with him three of the greatest months of my life.
What was he like as a supervisor, and why were those some of the three greatest months of your life?
Well, just those, the story, the charisma, the respect that he had among the farmers and that, those kinds of things. And he would be waiting for me. You know, I was driving all the way from French Lick, Indiana. It was about a 20-mile drive, but it's the longest 20 miles on the planet, on Highway 150 between West Baden and Shoals. It's such a curvy road that as you go around the corner, you see your taillights going the other direction, they say, in those hairpin turns. But I would drive my 68 Chevelle SS through those roads all the way to Shoals every morning, and I would always try to get there early. You know, I always made it a goal to be to work 15 minutes early, and it didn't matter what I did, if it was raining. When I pulled into the parking lot of the office, Fred Woods would not only be outside waiting in his truck, but he'd have it running. And He told me later, years ago, he said, I really didn't do that. He said, but he says, that loud muffler system on that Chevelle of yours, he said, I could hear you downshifting on 150 trying to slow down to make the turn to come into town. The office was, your car was so loud, I could hear you downshifting. And so I'd run out real quick and start the truck. But he was just a joy to work with every single day, you know, and just his knowledge. I mean, he would lay out, we probably built, this sounds like an exaggeration, but I'll bet we built 50 to 100 water and sediment control basins that year, and I don't know how many ponds and how many other structures. He sometimes, the contractor would be waiting, and he could calculate enough information that we could set the end flags for those water and sediment control, those tile outlet terraces. He could get those set while we, right after we did the survey in the morning, and he'd work in the truck and reduce the notes, and he'd go set those end flags in place so that we could get onto, that contractor could get started, and we could, and today, you know, Chris, how could he do that, you know? If you look at how complicated the math is for laying those water and sediment control basins out, they had to know the tile size, the orifice size, the height of the dam, and he would do that. It was amazing.
Yeah, the hydraulic math, he had no calculus, no college level calculus, no college algebra, but he did all of that hydraulic math to figure those things out without any problem, and was excellent at it and very efficient at it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Chris, how did you get to know Fred, and how did you get to the point where people were saying, you're the one who's going to fill his shoes?
Well, because I was the first full-time technician hired for Martin County after Fred retired. And that was the county that Fred retired in. So Fred was still very active with the Soil and Water Conservation District and as an Earth Team volunteer. So I got to see him quite a bit. And so just because I held the exact same position that Fred had held until his retirement, people always, you know, would say things like, well, you've got really big shoes to fill, which I never actually filled Fred's shoes, but I sure tried and tried to learn as much as I could from him. And I hired into the Shoals office September of 1987.
What were some of your favorite memories from when you were learning from him when he was an Earth Team volunteer?
One of the things that Fred told me one time that really stuck with me in my mind was Fred, he goes, Chris, I want to tell you something. And I can't do his accent like Barry can, so I'm just going to tell you what he said. He's like, I want to tell you something. He goes, man can't destroy the earth. And I was just kind of looking at him, and he paused, and he said it again. He goes, man can't destroy the earth. He says, the earth will be fine. It might be without humans, but he said, we can mess things up for ourselves, but man can't destroy the earth. And that really stuck in my mind for the rest of my career, because it made a lot of sense to me after that. It's like, you know, we really can mess a lot of things up for ourselves, and we might make ourselves have issues, but the earth's still going to be here and it'll eventually recover.
He had those kind of anecdotes that he would say all the time. And it's just like, I don't know, I always wondered, was he sitting at home thinking this stuff up, or does it just come to him? You know, but he would always have those kind of things to tell you and say to you.
Most of us, we see an image of the Grand Canyon, and we think, wow, what a beautiful thing. And when Fred saw images of the Grand Canyon, all he could think of was all of that erosion that took place and all that wasted soil and rock.
Barry, what were some of the anecdotes that Fred told you?
Oh, just those kinds of things that Chris just said. But he just had a way to say things. You know, I was telling Chris, or mentioned, I came back in my later career as soil health specialist. We were having a meeting back in Martin County, and it was 30 years after I had worked with Fred. And it's like Chris said, you know, he was probably in his mid to late 80s at this meeting, and there he was, still working as an Earth Team volunteer, you know, his mid to late 80s. And we were at this meeting with a whole bunch of farmers, and we were talking about water quality and soil health and how to get more soil health management systems out on the land and those kinds of things. And you know, I'd done a lot of my spiel, you know, a lot of my presentation, and it was coming up on question and answer time. And there sat Fred Woods right on the very front row, you know, with his big North Carolina smile, and still dressed in khaki head to toe. And so when there was a question in the crowd that says, well, how are we going to get all these people? This seems kind of difficult. All these cover crops, and you're talking about this system, it seems kind of difficult. How are we going to get all this conservation, all these conservation systems on the land? And, you know, I was up there kind of taking the easy way out, and I looked down, and there's Fred with his big smile on his face. And I said, well, Fred, nobody's been around longer than you in conservation. How do you think we're going to get all this conservation on the land? And without hesitation, it's like you've been thinking about it, you know, without hesitation, he said, ah, Barry, he said, getting all this conservation on the land will be very easy. And there was a pause, and he says, all you have to do is fall in love. When everybody's looking at each other, he says, with the land. And of course, you know, everybody breaks out laughing, you know, and here's big Fred Woods with his, and he comes across kind of a booming voice and that North Carolina accent that he always had to the end. And he says, all this conservation is so simple if you just fall in love with the land. And see, that's just the kind of thing that just would roll off of his tongue. So the crowd, nobody in the crowd could be a denier after that. You know, who's gonna dispute that after he says that, something like that.
Right.
With all this knowledge and with all the things that you learned from Fred, what is his legacy here for Indiana?
I think one of the greatest accomplishments Fred did was not just the conservation that he did as an individual, but the coalitions and the partnerships that he built. He was involved with at least three different flood control projects in Martin and Davies County. And one of them required large amounts of government taking of privately owned land in order to make the lake and the flood control structures successfully. The two others were located on a Navy base, but the channel work downstream would have been on privately owned land. So for him to put together the coalitions and the partnerships that made those projects popular is an incredible feat within itself. I mean, could you imagine wanting to do a project like that today? You would have protests and you would have, you know, coalitions going against not wanting this type of structure. But for some reason, Fred was able to put together the types of partnerships that those projects were popular and they were successful and they still exist to this day.
Yeah. His ability to communicate and put together a coalition is unbelievable. I remember, he would have everything from field days. He presented a field day. He had some of the very first no-till field days. That summer, the Soil and Water District had a three-point hitch, two-row, I think the Cole was the brand name, planter, a no-till planter back then, which was unheard of, and yet he got several farmers to come and watch, and that we planted no-till corn into actually an old hay field out at his farm is where we had that, and we'd have, you know, soil judging. He would have special events for Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and stuff on conservation, And it wasn't, there wasn't any group of people that he wasn't capable of inspiring and bringing together. And that's not always easy, you know, in local government, as you may well know, but to be able to get everybody on the same page and you know, going in the same direction was a skill that he had that was unbelievable. I remember even some of the early coal mines, the strip mining was just first coming into the county. The first one that I was aware of moved into that county that summer while I was there. And one day we were in the office, and I can't remember why, seldom were we ever in the office, but it must have been raining because the operator of that coal mine came in the office. And you know, so here's a big coal mine that comes in to the local office, and we're, you know, he announces himself, who he's with, and of course everybody knew the name of it, that, because that was kind of controversial at the time. And that operator says, I need to talk to Fred Woods if he's available. And of course Fred comes out of his office, and it's a small office, so everybody's kind of in there together. And the operator says, well, I'm here to get the specifications for the reclamation on this strip mine, on this coal mine. And Fred goes, well, why are you here getting, why are you asking us for the specifications on reclamation? And that operator looked down and says, well, here's the agreement that the owner made us sign when we got the lease, the mineral rights on this farm. And it says very plainly down here at the bottom that all reclamation of this farm and this land must be done in accordance with Fred Wood's specifications. It didn't say natural resources, didn't say USDA, didn't say state of Indiana. It said according to Fred Wood's specifications. That's what the owner of the land had put in the actual contract. So here's this operator trying to figure out what he's supposed to do. So Fred even became apparently the holder of all specifications of reclamation, coal mine reclamation in that county also.
That really says a lot for his reputation too.
Oh yeah.
So you talked about coalition, and that made me think of the Indiana Conservation Partnership. How did Fred's influence go beyond Martin County into Indiana and the conservation community?
I think mostly by just serving as an example. And for years, Fred was sought after by many of the soil and water conservation districts to come to their annual meetings and be their keynote address at their annual meetings. And I have no idea how many of those he actually did, but it was a large number of them. Even after his retirement, he was still being sought after by other soil and water conservation districts to come to their annual meeting and speak. But I think it was mostly Fred leading by example. You know, Fred didn't go out and seek the spotlight. He didn't seek awards. He didn't need them. But, you know, he was always gracious and grateful when he was recognized. But I think it was just, he just did it. People recognized it and wanted to do like Fred.
And I wish I knew the number of people that he trained that came through his office as a student trainee or a soil conservationist right out of college and things like that. And of those, I can just think of so many people that went on to become leaders across the state, whether in NRCS or you know, other conservation organizations. I mean, here's Chris. I you know, went on, was a state agronomist. Mike Warner, who was my boss, he'd gone through just a few years before me as a student trainee under Fred, and Mike Warner became the state forester and later an area conservationist and has been an officer in the State Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. And, you know, Fred, when you showed up the first day at work, Fred immediately starts handing you organizations. He says, you need to be, if you're going to be in conservation, you need to be a member of the Soil and Water Conservation. At that time, it was the Soil Conservation Society of America, but it was the Soil and Water. Now it's the Soil and Water Conservation Society. And then you need to be a member of NACD, and you need to be a member of all these other conservation organizations. That he starts handing you, he has those pamphlets out, and he hands them right to you and says, you really need to be active and involved in all these good conservation organizations.
Yes. Yes.
So with all of these stories, with everything that Fred shared, why do you think it's important to share his story and share what he believed in?
Well, I think that one of the reasons why we should share Fred's story is because we, Barry and I both have worked over, 35 years with soil and water conservation, and very few people get talked about much after they retire. And fortunately, Barry's going to be one of those people that they talk about for years after he's retired, because he was really a big part of the soil health movement and what took off with soil health. And Fred is another one of those people, just from the fact that he loved conservation so much and his passion was passed on to so many different people, that I believe it's important to continue to talk about him, because the young people that are coming up through the agency and the different conservation organizations now, they need to know that it's okay to be passionate. You know, it's not just a job. It's okay to actually love getting to go to work and do conservation work and be passionate about it. It's okay.
Yeah. And he instilled the idea that as an employee in conservation, that very few people have the ability in their own job, very few professions have the ability to truly make an impact on the very environment where they live, they raise their family, they may farm, but where they spend the rest of their life. And he just felt like he wanted everybody to know how important your job was. And today a lot of people, I thought, well, if you work for the government, that's a kind of a downer, and all this. But he, as a government employee, inspired so many people and really helped so many farmers, helped them find paths to sustainability and advised them on how to do better on their farm. We need to, I guess I would hope that could be instilled in all of the young professionals that are out there that working in conservation, that they understand just how much of an influence they can make. Go come to work every day and say, I want to be like Fred Woods. You will have done well in your career, I can tell you that.
And, Barry, Fred loved working so much. And when we had the blizzard of 1978, he told me he literally started up his tractor and drove his tractor to the office. Now, he would have had leave that he could have used, paid leave and stayed home and all of that. But going to work was that important to Fred that he got in his tractor and drove through 6-foot snowdrifts to get to the office.
And that's true, because L. Dean, the district secretary that worked there with him, she confirmed it when I asked that. He was telling that story. She confirmed he did. He really did. And then it made the rest of us feel guilty, because here he was going to work and we couldn't. So I know it's true because L. Dean confirmed that story.
Yes.
That's a great story. As we start to wrap up this episode of the Hat Soil Health Podcast, I do want to ask for your final thoughts on Fred Woods' legacy and what you would most like to the audience to take away from his work. Chris Lee with the NRCS, we'll start with you.
I think one of the most important things to Fred was not just the love of the land and the soil, but knowing that he inspired people. He loved people as well. When I went to see him after his 100th birthday, I went to his house, and this was during the peak of COVID, and I wore a mask, and I wasn't going to actually go in his house. I just was going to talk to him through the door. Well, he wasn't going to have that. I had to come in and sit down at his kitchen table, and I had to take my mask off because he didn't want to see my lips while I was speaking because he could hear me better. And I said, well, Fred, I don't want to make you sick. And he goes, oh, that COVID? I already had that COVID. He goes, it just gave me the sniffles. It's fine.
And Barry Fisher, what would you most like the audience to take away from Fred Woods' legacy?
A single person can make a difference in so many lives and inspire so many people. And, you know, it doesn't have to just be in conservation. His love was conservation and his love was for the land. But he taught that just have integrity, have, you know, have motivation and work ethic and drive. And you can inspire so many people in so many different ways as he did. And it's you can have it. You can work really hard all day long and enjoy every minute of it. We worked in the hot sweat laying out, but I'll just tell you, there was a single day that I didn't go home and tell my parents and everybody else what all we had done today and what great things that we felt like we had done for the environment, for farmers, and so I miss that big smile because it was always there. Each and every day, he was always in a positive mood and left you feeling really good at the end of the day. And so hopefully others can be inspired by someone like that in their life and can maybe try to aspire to be that someone that can inspire others like Fred did.
And just as Fred left you feeling really good at the end of the day, hearing all these stories leaves us feeling good at the end of this podcast episode. And I appreciate Chris and Barry sharing all of your memories. Thanks for coming on this episode.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elise. Good to see you, Chris. We'll see you later.
You too. We'll see. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you so much. And for Hoosier Ag Today, I'm Elise Koning.
This episode of the Hoosier Ag Today Soil Health Podcast has been brought to you by the Conservation Cropping Systems Initiative. You can learn more about their efforts and see a schedule of events at ccsin.org. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, create your riches below the surface with healthy soils.